Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. Again, he raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and the water was changed into blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. I mean, the Nile was their life, and it also gave them most of their protein. I mean, fish is at least a third of their diet, of their protein diet. Besides, I think we talked about geese and goats, right? But fish is the other big part of it. And so they're losing their animals, and it had to smell awful, right? I was reading something written by a sailor back in the days of Napoleon. And he comments that whenever he had to go back to London, even miles away, he could smell it, because London used to stink like horse. You know, when there were more than a million horses in London in the 1800s, you know, every single vehicle was pulled by horses, and children became rich picking up horse dung in the streets, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, but imagine the smell of just of stinking, reeking blood and dead fish. Don't forget the dead fish. You know. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. So the first plague is duplicated by the magicians. They're able to do the Nile, the water into blood. But again, I think it's God simply saying, here's an easy one. You think it's your best trick. I'm going to do it as simply one of my most elementary miracles, and we're going to move on from this.
Didn't the water stay blood? I mean, how could the Egyptian magicians come and do the same thing?
They must have gotten more water from somewhere. And we are told in the next verse that the people dug along the Nile to find new sources of water that were not turned to blood. So God also had mercy on the Egyptians by letting them dig for it. If you can imagine digging in the mud to get whatever water would bubble up there. That's verse 24. All the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. This tells us also how long it stayed blood. Commentators are pretty well agreed, including Luther, that this lasted a week. And then it ran clear again after that. Let me just go back there. Can't get back there. There we go. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Yeah. Anything that far. That's the end of chapter 7. By this plague they are.
Okay.
Yeah. Moses will tell us very clearly when the Israelites will not be afflicted by a plague. So after a while, God's even going to separate his own people from the plagues. In the beginning, though, it seems like they were all afflicted by this. We don't have any more references, though, here to the quota of bricks any longer. It's all pretty much an emergency. Just as when an emergency weather pattern or a hurricane or something hits, kind of everything, all the other work goes out the window for a while. It's an emergency. What happens in your house when all the electricity goes off? You know? What is it? It's just about survival. Do we have water? Do I have a candle? Do I have a flashlight battery? You know, just a couple things. Do we have food? Is there something I can go out for, or should I stay in depending on the weather or whatever? When I was a missionary, we lost electricity. It seemed like about almost every 6 to 8 weeks. It would shut down usually for 3-4 days at a time. But it's just because there were too many people and there wasn't enough infrastructure. That part of Washington State grew so fast that There was just nowhere to put all the people, and there weren't nearly the power availabilities to help everybody with their power needs. It just, and it would just, and any time a squirrel got into a transformer, it would just blow everything. But most of my neighbors had generators. I didn't. I wasn't warned by anybody. And all of a sudden, you'd hear the power would go off, then all the, everybody's generator would, you know, all the garage doors would go up 2 feet. And the generators are there in the garages to for the exhaust to come out. And they've got, I don't know what the, I suppose they were gas generators, probably. And yeah, that's what they would do. Chapter 8. Turn the page. So to answer that question, who asked that question? There was water somewhere. That they found water somewhere. And that's maybe all the more I should or could say. Fair enough? Unsatisfactory, but that's all I got. I still have to answer an email about where did I come up with a thing about if Adam and Eve didn't sin from the sermon this weekend. So I know where I got it, so I could answer it easily. But yeah, I was just hoping that people would ask me in person. I wouldn't have to type the whole thing out by email. So it's frustrating. Then the Lord said, I'm happy to do it though. But the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say, again, go into Pharaoh in Hebrew, and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. The word here is actually serve. The NIV has worship, but what's our word for worship? We call it a what? A service? Yeah. They actually mean the same thing. I was told by my seminary professors, don't say worship service. That's redundant. So, you know, it's like saying come in for the supper meal, you know, or supper dinner or something like that. But, okay. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. There's a word from the creation account too. When the water teemed with fish, when God sends so many in, did God start with just two fish who evolved? No, he began with whatever it was, millions and millions, or tens of millions of fish. The ocean was filled with fish when God began. Then they will come up into your palace. They'll come up into your bedroom. They'll come up onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people. They'll hop into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will jump on you. It just says go up in the NIV. But and your people and all your officials. How many of you have had a frog in your house recently? What would you do if there were 8 of them? What if there were 50 of them? And what if there were more outside than in? But your car's full of them. Yeah. Yeah. I would scream until I realized I had a frog in my throat. That just happened. I wasn't planning that. It just... But the frogs, they just keep coming and keep coming. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the imperfect verb there makes it evident that Jesus, as he was passing out the loaves and the fish, he just started passing and passing and passing and passing and passing. Were some of you at the Thanksgiving service? That was there in my translation of the feeding of the 4,000 at Thanksgiving, was that Jesus, that the miracle happens right there in the Lord's hands as he's handing the stuff out. It is embarrassing and frustrating that there are so many Lutherans in the United States who don't believe the miracles of Jesus, and who are taught that the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 are lessons about sharing. rather than the hand of God work performing a miracle. This guy had some bread and this little boy had some fish and the people learned that they should share what they had. And look at that, in the end they all got to eat. Can you imagine hearing a sermon like that? If I preached a sermon like that, I would expect to get lynched. And I would deserve it. But that there are whole synods of Lutherans in the United States, not the Missouri Synod, not the Wells, not the ELS, not the CLC, but there are whole synods that do not believe in the miracles of Jesus, and they're identical in their doctrine and practice as the Methodists, who also say the same thing. It's frustrating, but what does God say here? The Nile will teem with frogs. I'm sending frogs, and I'm going to send them and send them and send them and send them. They're going to be everywhere, hopping, jumping, increasing, and they're going to be, it's not like they're going to multiply themselves. I'm going to multiply them. And pow, frogs. Have you ever, maybe you haven't, have you ever been there aren't paint stores anymore, but I grew up in one. Hardware stores used to still have paint shakers. Are you still around some places? I suppose Pullman has at least one or two. Can you imagine what happens, John, or can you tell us what happens when the lid isn't tapped on hard enough? What, say it again?
The paint is a little hard on top.
No. It blows up.
Oh, I mean, you shake it.
Boom! There is paint everywhere.
I didn't do that.
My grandma did about once a month. She wouldn't be able to get it down hard enough. She had her rubber mallet and her paint rag and tapped it, because you got to put in, you know, 3Y of A and 1/4 Y of B and 1 little dash of C. And Grandpa always added a little bit of black to the white paint to make it shine. And then Grandma wouldn't quite get it tapped down hard enough. Start the shaker and stand back and kablooey! It's just everywhere. And in fact, the back wall of the paint store was just this modern art painting that Dad just left after a while. He used to paint it once a year to make it look nice, but it kept happening. He just gave up. But and it was quite lovely. Yes, Jackson Pollock was here, didn't you know? And that was a modern artist anyway. But all of a sudden the frogs are like that. They're just kablooey! It's just frogs everywhere. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds," sounds familiar, "and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs, came up and covered the land. I want to talk about the word "the" here. In biblical languages, there is a special use of the definite article. That's the word "the." And because you don't really need it in the sentence, but the Holy Spirit often supplies it, and it's called grammatically the article of previous reference. The frogs I was just talking about, those frogs came up and covered the land. So it's not like God predicted and then it happened by accident, like an algae bloom. But what I was just talking about, that exact thing is what appeared. That's what God is saying here with the in the text. It's hard to say the, by the way, when you're... Try it. The. Yeah. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret, apparently flaming arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Of course, if I could turn water to blood, I could probably get frogs to jump out of the water too, couldn't I? But that's not where the frogs came from that God sent on the land. But that somehow the magicians did the same thing. But I will tell you this, it's the last time. And I have a couple of references here. Jesus says in Matthew 24, False Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. And Paul says, I have it here, 2 Thessalonians 2, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. So Paul, kind of connecting Pharaoh with what's going to happen with Antichrist one day when false miracles begin to deceive people. But a counterfeit miracle is still miraculous. It's just not done to glorify God. It's done to lead people away by sort of sleight of hand, away from God to look at something else. Ooh, look what I can do too, that kind of thing. Go ahead.
Have you heard of the AI being able, or maybe it's not even AI, the technology that's able to project into the sky things that look real? Have you heard about this? Pardon? Yeah, anyway, supposedly there's...
Say that same name. Jamie, what did you just say?
It's called like Project Bluebeam.
Project Bluebeam. Sounds like the bat signal to me, but...
They're going to be able to like put up angels coming out of the sky and stuff like this, and they're saying that they've been working on this, governments are investing in this so that they can deceive the people.
Can you think of a more practical application than angels? Even more practical than that?
Drones.
Attacking airplanes and things like that. Yeah.
Yes, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a Star Trek fan, that's old school. They've been doing that for a long time. That goes back to cartoon Star Trek in 1973. All the way back there. How sharper than a serpent's tooth? I'll stop quoting Star Trek episodes to you now. But those are not miracles.
No, but it's...
That's just technology. A long-standing, again, sleight of hand. I mean, they did this in the 16th century with mirrors. How do you make a ghost appear in a window? With a slanted mirror and a girl in the next room. That's all it takes. And then just some ghostly form appears. It's kind of there, but kind of not. I can kind of see through it. And so I think that that's what a ghost looks like. But it's just a girl in the next room standing in front of the slanted mirror. That's all. But that goes back almost to Luther's time. That kind of stuff. You know. But actual miracles to do things... to terrify, to mislead. The devil always fights dirty. Get into a fight with the devil, and you can expect to be kicked when you're down. You can expect him to break every rule. He will throw sand in your eyes. He will kick you below the belt. He will suddenly produce a knife from somewhere and stab you in the back. And he will have your friends turn on you. The devil is a dirty fighter. He is, forgive me, a jerk. And he is never your friend. And don't ever forget that. The devil is never on your side. He is always your opponent because he despises you. And the best single defense against the devil is the name of Jesus Christ. Because he hates that name more than anything else. Which is why I'm a big proponent of saying your prayers out loud, especially at night before you go to bed. Pray out loud. Until it comes to the moment when you're going to pray about a specific private temptation of yours. He can't read your mind, so don't say that part out loud. Don't give him any ammo. But ask Jesus to be with you and to bless you. Heavenly Father, forgive my sins and my sons. Beginning of my nightly prayer. Fair enough? And go on from there. Let's move on. Verse 8. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. I love this part. and said, so Pharaoh asks, pray that the Lord will take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Pharaoh doesn't ask his own magicians to get rid of the frogs. What does he know about his magicians? Say it again.
They're fake.
They're fake. And they can't get rid of them. He already knows that Moses has a power that his magicians don't have. And so he says, please pray to take the frogs away from me and my people. Get the frogs out of my dresser. When my boys were little and we got our first kittens, the kittens decided that they loved my son Peter's sock drawer more than any other place in the world. So my poor child would open his sock drawer in the morning and two black cats would jump out at him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that with frogs, though? No matter what you're doing, you know, honey, do we have any flour left? You open the thing and blah, 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 blah. Pharaoh's like, get these things out of my life, out of my kitchen. What does Moses say? I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. So Moses will leave the frogs in the Nile. The Nile has to have frogs. But everything else goes. And so what does Pharaoh say tomorrow? Moses replied, it will be as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. So he lets him pick his own time for the frogs to go. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will remain only in the Nile. And after Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They didn't hop away. They just, forgive me, croaked. Yeah. This is actually a famous painting. They were piled into heaps and the land reeked of them. Dead frog. In my mind, I smell, what is it? What do we inject the animals with to dissect them? Formaldehyde. That's all I smell. But that's not what they smelled. Formaldehyde's bad enough. The lamprey eels and the sheep's brains and the other things that I had to dissect once upon a time in my life. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And thank you once again for letting me do this. God bless you. You've been listening to Invisible Church, the Bible study podcast from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, New Ulm, Minnesota.